And so Jesus Christ has provided a way for us to come boldly into the throne of grace. We no longer wait for a priest to come in on the Day of Atonement and pray for the sins of our church or of our nation, but we can come daily, we can come moment by moment and boldly into the presence of God because Jesus Christ has made the way possible for us.
Hello, this is Pastor Paul Chappell on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you for joining us for today's podcast. It's my prayer that the Bible teaching and preaching you are about to hear will be a blessing to you in your Christian walk, and that because of your time in the Word of God today, you will draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Prayer is a great privilege, and tonight we're going to learn that privilege is made available to us because of the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In many ways, prayer is not normal or natural for the fleshly man. In fact, it really is an assault on our human autonomy or on our desire to do things our own way. But God has designed the Christian life to be a life of prayer. A life that is dedicated to hearing Him through His Word and speaking to Him through prayer. You don't have to understand everything about prayer in order to pray. It is said that Albert Einstein, before he died, said that he hoped he would understand more about light and how it worked. But the fact of the matter is that our simplistic minds may never understand the complexity of light, and yet we use light every single day. We throw the light switch and we appreciate it. Vance Havner said, we don't have to sit around in the dark until we understand light. How many of you are thankful for that? Amen. We don't have to understand everything about prayer in order to begin praying and talking to God. But tonight we want to learn more about prayer, more about God's plan for approaching Him in prayer. The truth is that we do not pray to impress God. We do not pray to inform God, though I've heard some folks that seem to be trying to do that in their prayer life. We pray to invite God into our daily lives and to invite His help and to ask Him for His help in our everyday lives. And Hebrews is a book written to the Hebrew Christians of the first century to explain to them the blessing of the door of faith having opened to them. And the blessing of the door of prayer that has opened along with their faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says here in Hebrews 10 and verse 9 these words, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering sometimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Do you sense the permanency of that? Do you sense the fact that Jesus Christ is seated now at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us? And the Bible refers to this process in verse 20 as a new and living way. This way is now some 2,000 years old, and it's working just fine after 2,000 years. This New Testament, this new way that was established. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. And so that's what we're going to learn about tonight, this new way of coming to the Father through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 10, we have a description of how to approach God in this way called prayer. Notice, if you will, first of all tonight, if you're taking notes, God wants us to come to Him boldly. He wants His children to come boldly to Him in prayer. Verse 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The word therefore refers back to the shedding of the blood, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the Bible is teaching us that because of that sacrifice, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. God says, first of all, I want you to enter with boldness. Now that was a foreign concept for the Hebrew believer. Their understanding of entering into the holiest, their understanding of coming to God in prayer was not something that the average Jewish person would have considered to be their bold privilege. It was not commonly held that you would enter boldly into the holiest in the Old Testament economy. In fact, in the Old Testament times, no one dared to enter the Holy of Holies. No one dared to approach the Ark of the Covenant. That was something only the high priest would do at certain times. There was a veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. It was, if you will, a barrier separating the common man from that holy place. In fact, I believe we have a slide of the tabernacle tonight, and you get a little concept of the fact that there was a process of cleansing and then approaching into the Holy of Holies that was to be accomplished only by the high priest. It was not for the common man to enter into the holy place. But now is a new and living way whereby the Bible declares us in 1 Peter to be believer priests, every one of us. And because of that, we have an high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace because of the work of our high priest. And so we're to come boldly. And we enter boldly because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We're to enter by way of the blood that was shed. Now notice that in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, or because of the blood of Jesus. Now we know that Jesus Christ was God incarnate. We know the blood that Jesus shed was efficacious in the covering of sin. We know the blood that Jesus shed was also the way that each of us have now been made available, the way that opened the door for us to come into God in prayer. And the Bible is clear in Mark 14:37, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. The significance of that showing that God was breaking down that wall of partition and making a way for everyone to come to the Lord in prayer. Because Jesus has opened that heavenly sanctuary, we now have an invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace in prayer. 1 Timothy 2:5 says it this way, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And so we come by way of the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. And because His blood was shed, because He died upon the cross, we have access through Him. We do not come boldly because we're Baptists. I thank God that I'm a Baptist tonight. I'm Baptist born and Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. I'm thankful for my Baptist heritage, but I don't come to God in prayer because I'm a Baptist. I don't come boldly because of that. I come boldly because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And His blood has made the way possible. It is by or through the blood of His atonement, not through the church, not through the saints, not through Mary. Not through any other mediator type of a figure, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have the privilege to come boldly. The blood washes our sins away and gives us access as believer priests to the throne of grace. 1 John speaks of this in chapter 1 and verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all unrighteousness," or from all sin. How we thank God for that. Read on in 1 John 2 and verse 1. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation." Interestingly, that word speaks of His covering. It speaks of Jesus being our mercy seat. He is the propitiation, or the covering, for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so Jesus Christ has provided a way for us to come boldly into the throne of grace. We no longer wait for a priest to come in on the Day of Atonement and pray for the sins of our church or of our nation, but we can come daily, we can come moment by moment and boldly into the presence of God because Jesus Christ has made the way possible for us. Charles Spurgeon once said, "Holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness." You see, if I had to be good enough to gain access into the Holy of Holies, I would never get there. But Jesus Christ, the perfectly sinless Son of God, shed His blood so that by the way of the cross, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. How many of you are thankful for that tonight? That's why we pray in Jesus' name. Our name has no merit. His name has all power. And we come to Him, and He is the mediator. And we come to Him in order to find access to the throne of grace. And so as we learn about prayer this month, God says, I don't want you to come to me in a timid way or in a way of wondering whether or not you're welcome. I want you to come boldly to the throne of grace. This does not mean with presumptuousness. This does not mean with pride. But I believe tonight that the longer we're saved, the more our prayer life should be a natural conversation with God, entering boldly, entering regularly, and having a holy kind of familiarity with our God through prayer because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, I want you to come boldly. Notice, secondly, we're to come to God personally. Personally. How I thank God for this. There are millions of people today in this world who believe that if their prayers are going to really get up there, then they've got to get those prayers to a monk or a priest or somebody who really knows a lot about how to get prayers up there, and that person maybe can help them along the way. But that's not at all how God designed prayer. Notice what it says in verse 21. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now we come to God personally, first of all, through our high priest. We saw that a moment ago as Jesus shed His blood. We come through the high priest, not through a church, not through a person other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if your Bible's open to Hebrews, turn back for a moment to Hebrews chapter 4, please. Hebrews 4:15. And let's learn about our high priest, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Now, our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I was studying this morning about the prayers that Jesus prayed on the way to Calvary. The words He uttered on the cross of Calvary are a study in themselves, but Jesus said many prayers in the days leading up to the crucifixion, and I'm going to preach about those prayers this Sunday morning. But it's amazing as you follow the steps of Jesus Christ and you see that He prayed with great drops of blood pouring from His brow in the Garden of Gethsemane. You see, on another occasion, He prayed for Peter that the devil would not sift him like wheat. You see the Lord Jesus Christ as throughout His earthly ministry, He showed His heart for people and His ability to feel the hurts of people within His heart. We know the shortest verse in the Bible is that simple phrase, Jesus what? Jesus wept. And we see in the Word of God that we have an high priest that can be touched. I see Brother and Mrs. Knox back from the funeral service, and no doubt throughout this time they have spent time in prayer and asking God for His help, as have others in our church during times of bereavement and grieving. And yet during those times when we pray to Jesus Christ, He understands our feeling. He understands what it is to suffer physical pain. He understands what it is to have someone turn their back on you and betray you. And on the list could go, the physical pain. We have an high priest that has been touched and can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Listen, you can never say to the Lord, you don't understand. Now, there's a lot of people on this planet who don't understand, but Jesus Christ understands our burden. So we pray to a high priest who can feel, who can sense our burden. I was in Costa Rica 10 or 15 years ago and preaching there for Brother Bordell. And Brother Bordell took us into the Basilica. Some of our teenagers have been there, south of San Jose. And in that particular Catholic cathedral, I saw for the first time what's known as a confessional booth. I think we have a picture of that. And I've since seen in other countries, including El Salvador, the people lining up to the confessional booth and speaking to the priest through the little window pane there in the confessional booth. And many times they would place money in the confessional booth, and the thought being that would assist their prayers in getting up just a little bit further. And I would see people as they would come into the confessional booth and speak through the screen and tell a priest about their sin. And they would confess their sin in that booth, and then he would apparently pray the prayers on up into heaven. And when I saw that, my heart was broken for a people who are being taught something that is contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. Our priest does not live in a confessional booth or in a church. Our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, is available 24/7. We can come boldly to the throne of grace and to the Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank God for that. He is always there. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so we come through the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, secondly, we're to come with humility. Now notice in verse 22 what the Bible says. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Psalm 10:17 says this, Lord, Thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause Thine ear to hear. Did you catch that? Lord, Thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Isaiah 57. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. How many of you are recognizing that God is sensitive and tender towards the prayers of a humble servant? Someone who comes to him with contrition. The prayer that gets to heaven is the prayer that starts in heaven with a humble heart, pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 11:36 says, for of him and through him and to him are all things. So God wants us to come to him humbly. And we see that spirit in verse 22, drawing near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, even as the priests would cleanse before they went into the Holy of Holies, I believe God's desire for our prayers is that they come from a heart that is cleansed through confession, a heart that is tender and sincere, and that we're not just coming in haphazardly, but very soberly in our prayers. Do you know when someone backslides and they're away from God for a length of time, living in sin, they ought not to just jaunt into church howdy and high-fiving like nothing ever happened. There ought to be a time of repentance, and a time of making things right with God, and a time to really humble themselves and seek the face of God. That ought to be the case in all of our lives, that we would seek the Lord sincerely from our heart. James 4:3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. You see, prayer is not a game to be played with God. God wants us to be prepared from the heart as we come to Him in prayer. And He says, come to me with a believing heart. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. 1 John 5:14 says it this way, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him. God says, I want you to come with a believing heart. I want you to come with a prepared heart, having our hearts sprinkled. Look at what it says in 1 John 3:3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Prayer then involves the purification of the heart before God, the humbling of the man before God, and sincerely coming to God, knowing that without Him, we have no hope. Listen, it's not a matter of just getting God to buy into my agenda. It's not a matter of getting God to approve of my lifestyle. It's a matter of saying, as the psalmist of old, Lord, search my heart and know it. And Lord, show me if there be any wicked way in me. And when we spend time in prayer, that's the spirit of prayer. Lord, I want your will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. John Bunyan said, prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. How true that is. And oh, listen, tonight I had a pastor years ago talk to me, and we were talking about pastors who leave the ministry and sometimes under terrible circumstances, and Christians whose lives are ruined many times. And this is what he said. He said, Brother Chapel, I don't think there's any problem that a man could face in life that couldn't be cured with 1 hour a day in prayer. And I believe there's a lot of truth to that. If we would spend time humbly before the Lord and opening our heart and making things right with the Lord each and every day, we could avoid so many of the traps of the devil by walking with a humble heart before God. So vital that we see that. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. You see, God says, I want you to come to me boldly because of the blood of Jesus, but I want you to come to me personally with an honest heart, with an open heart, seeking me with all your heart. And let me encourage you, when you pray, make sure the TV's off, the radio's off. Make sure you have a place and a time where you meet with the Lord on a regular basis daily, that you might be able to truly commune with Him. How I thank God for the time that I have in prayer each day, set aside in a place at a time personally with the Lord. Make sure you have the Lord on your appointment book tomorrow. And listen, how many of you, when you go to the doctor, find they like to have an appointment, right? And you put that in your book, Dr. Jones, 2 o'clock, or you put appointments down for other things. Why don't you set a daily appointment with God in prayer and come boldly and come personally? Notice, thirdly, we're to come to God faithfully. Coming to God faithfully. Now, notice in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now, many of the Jewish believers that were tempted to revert back to the old way, we've studied that in the book of Galatians, many were tempted to go back into Judaism. They were often tempted to fall back away from the privileges of grace and into the pattern that they had known before. But here they are admonished to follow the new and living way, to hold fast their profession of faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. And God is faithful, but he calls us to be faithful as well. Now notice, first of all, the profession of our faith in verse 23. The Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. In other words, we're not keeping ourselves saved, but we're holding true to what we said we believed in Christ. James 1:6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven and with the wind and tossed. God says, when you come to me, I want you to come holding fast your profession of faith and believing confidently in my power to answer your prayer. And how important this is in prayer, that we come with a heart full of faith. Notice 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God wants us to have a faithful and abounding heart in prayer. And it's so important as Christians that our prayers are prayers of faith. And so we see the profession of our faith is something that carries into our prayer life. Notice, secondly, the promise of our Heavenly Father in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? For he is faithful that promise. How many of you thank God for that? Now watch. If we have access by way of the blood, and if we can come personally and boldly to the throne of grace, and if God is a faithful God, then why would we come in any other frame of heart than to come faithfully to Him and confidently to Him in prayer, trusting God for the answer? Look in your notes there at John 14:13. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If our prayers are in the name of Christ, according to the will of God, we can pray confidently to Him. Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. In other words, God over and again in the Scripture says, don't come to me with a what-if attitude. Don't come to me with a maybe, it might happen spirit. But come boldly to the throne of grace. One author said, our prayers lay the track down which God's power can come. Like a mighty locomotive, His power is irresistible, but it cannot reach us without rails. I like that illustration. We want to have prayer of faith that lays the track down for the power of God to be manifested. That's the will of God for our lives. Now, as we close tonight, turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7, and let's just see some of God's instructions concerning prayer. Matthew 7:7. The Bible speaks here concerning the heart of God for each of our lives in prayer. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? Now, every one of you in this room that are parents tonight, you delight in granting the desire of your child's heart as often as possible. We can't do it every time they ask, but we sure delight in doing it as often as we can. And God says in His Word, if we, being evil, give good gifts, how much more does the Father want to give to us? And I think one of the great tragedies of the Christian life in 2009 is not necessarily unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. It's not that God doesn't answer, it's that we don't ask. And so oftentimes, as we come through the difficulties of life, we have stress and worry, and we talk and talk and talk about the problems, but do we bring those problems to God in prayer? Because He says He's waiting to hear and answer those prayers. And why we many times fail, why we would miss the opportunity to bring these things before the Lord does not make sense. God says, come to me, 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. And God says, I love you, and I want to hear from you, and I want to answer your prayer. And I know tonight, with every individual in this room, there's some great need that can only be answered by prayer and by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does He teach us here in the book of Hebrews? He says, first, come boldly. Not because you're so worthy or so deserving, but because of the blood that's been shed that covers your sin. You don't have to come timidly. You can come boldly. Second, He says, I want you to come personally. Not through some other priest or person, but I want you to come personally before me with a humble heart and with a believing heart. I want you to come to me in prayer. And then God says, I want you to come faithfully. Why? Because He is faithful that promise. And God says, I'm faithful. I want you to come to me in a faithful spirit. I want you to lay down the tracks that bring the power of God by faithfully coming to me in prayer. You know, throughout this year already, there have been those who've needed jobs, those who've faced bereavement, and those who have faced health trials. And yet, through it all, we see the hand of God when we seek His face and when we come to Him in prayer. In just a few moments, we're going to the Lord in prayer. But I want to ask you tonight, is there a particular matter that you need to bring before God? And if so, how will you bring it? Just because we're going through the motion, or because this is God's will for your life that you come with great faith in prayer? And I wonder tonight, are there some in this room who need to set a daily appointment with God? A time and a place where you'll meet the Lord boldly and personally and faithfully, coming to Him and seeking His face. Perhaps tonight God would burden your heart to make that appointment and come to Him by faith each day in prayer.
Thank you again for taking time to join us for today's podcast. I trust your heart has been encouraged and challenged from the Word of God. If you have further questions about the Word of God or today's lesson, feel free to contact me at lancasterbaptist.org. Also, if you're not already receiving our daily devotional, log on to dailyintheword.org and subscribe today for a daily devotional that will come right to your desk, a word of encouragement from God's Word that will help you each and every day. And finally, if you're looking for more resources, Bible study tools, or books that will help you in the Christian life, you might visit strivingtogether.com. Striving Together Publications exist to help you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again for your hunger for the Word of God. May God richly bless you.